Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
That's right, we're a family, aren't we? Amen. Well, as I shared last week, we kicked off the Beyond Vision campaign. I encourage you to go ahead and watch that online. We had that streaming as well. And we've been looking at the book of Joshua and how they were on the edge. Joshua is called into a new level of leadership. He and the people were there on the edge of the Jordan River. They weren't yet into the promised land. The promises of God, the things that he'd promised for them for years were in front of them, but yet they hadn't taken that step into the promised land. Moses, their leader, had passed away. He was gone. God was calling Joshua to step up into the lead in that next season. And again, the future was uncertain. The promises of God had yet to be possessed. In 40 years, the people wandered in the wilderness. And then following the death of Moses, they camped on the edge of the Jordan River. The Lord said to Joshua these words, "Be strong and courageous." Be strong and courageous, and told Joshua, "You are now to lead this people into this new season so they can begin to take hold of the promises that I have for them." And three times God appeared, God spoke to Joshua the same words, "Be strong and courageous." God was calling Joshua again to have courage. And last week we talked about courage, that courage is not the absence of fear, but rather it's obedience in the presence of it. Fear might be there, the unknown might be there, but courage is saying we're going to press ahead and trust God anyway and be obedient. We learned four foundations of courage last week. The courage rests on a clear assignment from God. And we believe in this vision that God has given us a clear assignment through the Acts 1:8 vision. We believe that courage, in Joshua we saw courage is sustained by God's presence. God promised to be with them. The courage requires intentional obedience. They were going to need to follow the instructions of the Lord, and the courage is anchored in God's word. And for us as a church family, this Beyond Vision campaign is not just about projects, but it's about courageous faith-filled obedience to what we feel God is leading us into in this next season, what he's put in our hands to do, and being obedient to what God has called us to do. It's about stepping into the Acts 1:8 vision, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You see, courageous faith is moving forward because God is leading us, not because everything feels safe, right? But here's the tension. It's one thing to hear "be strong and courageous." It's another thing to actually follow through in a step of faith and action, isn't it? To take that first step. And when I consider where we're at and the steps we've taken, I can honestly say that we have been taking steps of faith to follow the Lord in this vision, but we're very much still on this side of the Jordan. We've already been stepping forward, but we're on this side of the Jordan. When we voted to move ahead last July with the sanctuary remodel, it wasn't just about approving a project, but it was courageous faith, believing that God was positioning us for greater ministry impact in the years ahead. Has anybody believed that the greatest years of impact for this church is still in front of us? Our best days are not behind us, they're still in front of us. God isn't finished with us yet. We've been around for 90 years, but God isn't finished with us yet. God has more for us to do. When we brought Pastors Ryan and Hannah on staff to lead Chardon Assembly of God and began investing time and prayer and volunteers and resources into that revitalization project, that wasn't convenience, it was courage. Saying, "God, we believe you're calling us to step into something." Our Judea and our neighbors that live in that area to reach them. When LifeWise Bible Education was launched here at Buckeye Elementary just 2 weeks ago, that wasn't accidental. That was faith in action as a team that stayed committed to praying and planning and praying and planning and working through it and getting the approvals, that they were taking steps of faith, believing that God was leading them to be able to impact our community and the next generation with the gospel. And each Friday night, when a team of people gives up their Friday nights to share the love of Jesus at Project Hope, that's a step of action and faith into this vision. Every time we have volunteers like you that serve in our nursery and kids ministry, you make a way so that young families like the girls who come from Hannah's home and their families can be here to be able to hear the gospel. That's a step of obedience and faith. Every time you fill a baby bottle, every time you give and you get a gift tag, that's supporting these ladies in this ministry at Hannah's home. Every time you pray for these guys at Teen Challenge and you give to missions, you're giving to make sure these guys have an opportunity to be able to follow what Jesus is doing in their lives and to be set free. Every time we have a team that goes to Vista Springs Nursing Home once a month and be able to serve there, we're reaching those in that nursing home. Every week when Pastor Sam does FCA ministry over at Riverside School District, it's opening the opportunity for people and young people to be able to hear the gospel. Young and old, every generation. This is what God is calling us to step into, and He wants to do more. He wants to go beyond, exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. And the only limitation is us and whether we're willing to be obedient to what God is calling us to do or not. The limit is not God. God is limitless. The limits are on us. When we look and we say, oh, I don't know if God can use me. I look at my situation, I don't think it's possible. I look at my life and I don't think it's possible. Well, today, I want to tell you a story in Joshua chapter 2, because we're going to begin to look at someone that God used in Joshua chapter 2, who was probably one of the most unlikely people, not somebody we would choose, if we were talking about being able to move forward in something that God is calling us to. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 2 today, and so if you would turn in God's word, and join us there. We're going to be again in Joshua chapter 2 today. And again, it begins. They're still on the other side of the Jordan. The walls of Jericho are still standing. The obstacles that the first set of spies in Numbers chapter 13 had seen had not disappeared. They had not gone anywhere. But before ever Israel ever marches around Jericho, before the walls ever fall, before there's ever a miracle, there is a quiet, strategic, faith-filled step of obedience. And what is it? Well, Joshua sends spies in the land. We're going to talk about what that means in a moment. Moses has sent spies in the land before. That didn't work out so well. Here we go again. Nothing's really changed. Joshua, why are you doing this? But here's the truth. Faith doesn't eliminate the need for wisdom. How many of you know that? Faith invites us to trust God, but it still moves forward intentionally. And this week, we're going to see what courageous faith looks like as we look at inspiration and action. Faith that moves us beyond. The kind of faith that moves us into action and beyond. Faith doesn't presume. Faith seeks wisdom. Faith doesn't believe that God can do it. It takes steps of faith that align with God's plan. And so I want to share with you today five marks of faith that move us beyond hesitation and into action. And again, we're going to see this unlikely woman by the name of Rahab and how God uses her faith. Five marks of courageous faith. Number one, courageous faith prepares, not presumes. Look at Joshua 2:1. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at the Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. Ooh, boy, this does not seem like it is G-rated or family-friendly. Right? God had already promised them the land. Joshua, why are you sending spies out into the land? Don't you remember what happened before when Moses did this same thing back in Numbers chapter 13? You were one of those spies. Don't you remember what happened? If God said to go do it, why are you sending spies out into the land? I don't understand. Well, Joshua understood that God's promise for deliverance was there, but he had not given instructions about how they were going to do it. So as a wise military leader, rather than just simply going ahead without any kind of planning, Joshua says, you know what? Let's go ahead and scout out the land. Let's get some information, the layout of the enemy's defenses and the condition of their morale and factors that might be important for this military campaign that we are undergoing. Moreover, he wasn't presuming upon the Lord. He was to trust the Lord implicitly, but that trust was also to say, what are the resources that you've given us? And let's take an assessment as to what's happening, the training of the men that we have, the wisdom that we've gained. How many of you know that faith in the Lord is not just presuming upon the Lord, right? Planning is just as spiritual as just moving forward in faith. Planning is spiritual. How many of my folks here, how many would say planning is spiritual? Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, there's a few of you on this side of the room. All right, you're with me. Faith looks at the principles of Scripture that might be applicable. It also gathers the right information. And based on the biblical principles and the known facts, it moves ahead, trusting in God's provision and the direction of the Lord. Luke 14:31. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether an army of 10,000 could defeat 20,000 soldiers marching against him? Listen, Joshua didn't send spies into the land because they lacked faith, but rather so they could properly prepare, assess the situation, and he could prepare the people. Proverbs 15:22 reminds us that plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Planning is good. Having advisors is good. Trusting God doesn't mean that we move ahead without planning or giving careful consideration. We do so with prayer and humility, but we don't allow it to keep us back from being obedient. When it comes to the Acts 1:8 vision, I want to encourage you, friends. We have taken steps to prepare. We've taken steps to plan. We had a team that met and discussed and planned for nearly 18 months before we ever brought it. We partner with a design build company that works specifically with churches so that they could guide our team. And since 2020, as a church, we have been putting money into our savings account so that we could begin to prepare for what God wanted to do when the time came. And we've saved up 20% of the cost of this already, the stewardship that we believe God was already guiding us into these projects. This is what we've already done. We prepared and worked with a stewardship ministry to guide the vision campaign that we're entering into. And we prepared a financial, they helped us prepare a financial analysis that could show us with faith what would be possible. LifeWise Academy team, they went from a community interest list almost 3 years ago, and they began to plan, and they began to gather other churches in our community, and they worked with a coach and advisor and sought partnerships from other churches and pastors and worked in coordination with our local schools. And the same, this is the planning that's been going on. This is not just a haphazard vision we're entering into. The same is true with Chardon Partnership. We work with the leadership and the Ohio Ministry Network that we're a part of here as the Assemblies of God. We spent months talking through it as a team, writing up a memorandum of understanding, receiving coaching and training, and seeking out who God would have to come and to pastor that church, praying into that vision. And the coaching continues as we continue to seek counsel. And I share this again because what we are entering into, we're not doing haphazardly. In fact, this is years of planning and preparing and praying and seeking the Lord and saying, God, is this what you have? And every step of the way, feeling the confirmation that God has said, this is the way, walk in it, and helping us as we've prepared and as we've planned. But friends, it doesn't mean that we have all the answers. If we can do it in our own humanness, how many of you know that's not faith? If we can do it and we don't need God, that's not faith. And it was the same thing with the Israelites. Although they sent the spies, nothing had changed. The walls of Jericho were still fortified. The military armies were still large. There were still giants in the land. And although God had promised them as Israel, they could take inventory. But as they look ahead, if they were going to take hold of the promises of God, it was going to be by faith-filled obedience and trusting that God would do the miraculous and he would provide. That's where we're at. We've done the planning, but we're praying and believing God for the provision. Oh, okay. I didn't get a lot of amens on that. See, faith says, God, what are you doing? Wisdom says, how do you want us to step into it? And that's what we're praying into. And that's why this is a spiritual journey. God, what do you want us to step into? And as we do our part, we're trusting you to do yours. Second, as I shared, God uses unlikely people to advance the vision. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 2 for a moment. This is the second mark of courageous faith, because there's an unlikely person who becomes central to the story here in Joshua chapter 2. This is the second half of verse 1. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there that night. They ended up in a very unlikely place. One that I go, what are you doing? What are these Hebrew boys doing? Right? We're not given much backstory, except that the next verse in verse 2 says, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. Now, were they seeking the services of a prostitute? I don't think so. Can I just say that up front? I don't think so. I think if we really look at it, here's what happened. They were not really good at spying. They just weren't really good at spying. The king had heard, there are some spies that are in here. And so I'm thinking that they realized that they were found out, that they realized, as they say, they had been made, so to speak, right? What are we going to do? And so they were seeking for a place of refuge, and they just, why not the house of a prostitute? I mean, travelers seek places all the time, and nobody might, think to go there. And so that they found that refuge, and what happens? An unlikely hero emerges in the story. An unlikely hero emerges here in this story. Rahab's house was situated on the wall, and it would provide a great escape route. And as it turned out, it was a God-ordained place. Think about it, though. Of all the people God could have chosen, why did he choose a prostitute by the name of Rahab? A woman with a broken past, a woman with a compromised reputation, and someone that really has no religious pedigree whatsoever. And yet God weaves her directly into his redemptive plan. How many of you find you're encouraged by that? I'm encouraged by that, right? Because the reality is, in our human state, we tend to put limits on God, suggesting that he can only use certain individuals. God can only use certain people. You've got to be a certain caliber, right? God can't use this person because they're he won't do that because of their... Oh, he can't use me because of... Come on, you've been filling in the blanks. There are some of you that have been sitting here and that's the way you feel. God can't use me. Some of you judge and look around. God can't use that person. God can't use this person. And we put all kinds of limits on what God can and can't do. But friends, God doesn't look for perfect people. He looks for availability and he looks for faith. Will I find faith on the earth? That's the question in Scripture. Joshua 2, 9 to 11. This is what Rahab ends up telling the spies. Whew, that was bad. That was wrong theology right there. Joshua 2, 9 to 11. This is her testimony. She says, I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. They end up at the house of a prostitute. And what they find is someone who can perceive what God is doing. An unlikely person. See, I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We're all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you in the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what he did, what you did to Sihon and all the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord, your God, is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Friends, this didn't come out of a church lady's mouth. This didn't come out of somebody who had already been redeemed. This came out of the mouth of a Gentile prostitute who heard of the things that God was doing and said, oh, God, I see what that God does. She didn't know how, but she said, I see it. I see it. An unlikely person. She didn't grow up with the covenant promises of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. She didn't. She just heard the stories of God's power and of what God has done. And she recognized, man, he is the supreme God and he's the one that fights for his people. In fact, in the book of James, Jesus' brother James writes this for Rahab as an example of faith and works, faith and action. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous? A prostitute righteous? What? That'll mess with your theology. We need a little messing with our theology sometimes, don't we? Was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Rahab might not have been the person we would have chosen. But God saw her and she was the person that God chose. God saw her. She was the person God chose. Why? Because he saw in her faith. A recognition of faith and a willingness to be able to acknowledge him. God doesn't build his kingdom through ideal candidates, friends. God builds his kingdom through surrendered hearts. And as we trust God to provide for the Beyond campaign and we move forward with what God has called us to do, I believe that God is going to use everyone. It takes all of us. It takes all of us. It's going to take every one of us, not those who just have the most or those that have been here the longest or those who appear the most qualified. Because God is willing to use anybody who is willing to say, yes, God, I trust you and I believe you, and I'm willing to follow you in faith. I believe you're at work. I can see what you're doing, and I know what you've done, and I know who you are, and I want to say, yes, God, what do you want me to do? The third mark is courageous faith acts even when it's costly. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 2. You might think it wasn't costly for Rahab, but it was. Look at what happens when the king had been reported that the spies had ended up in her house. It says this in verse 4, Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. And then in parentheses in scripture, it says actually she had taken them up on the roof, hidden them between the bundles of flax she had laid out. Before we go any further, let me address the elephant in the story. Does God approve of lying? Does God approve of prostitution? No, but it certainly appears here that God seems to be inconsistent in his character, right? When you consider the narrative and the later reward. But often what we miss is that Rahab was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. To put it in today's language, she didn't grow up going to church. Nor did she truly know God and his word. She hadn't been there when God laid out the Ten Commandments. One of them, do not give false testimony or do not lie. As I pointed out a few moments ago, she had simply heard about the God of the Israelites. And where she was, she saw, I see God's hand. I see what God has done. I see that he has his hand on this people. And I perceive that and I simply have faith in God. But at that point in time, she was simply doing what she had always been trained to do. And God said, you know what? I can use that. I can use that. That might mess with your theology. But God oftentimes uses unredeemed people to be able to accomplish his plan. Rahab had faith, and God was willing to take her right where she was at, understanding that, man, it was costly to her. In fact, both James and, it might surprise you, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, which is considered the hall of faith, you know, the people where Abraham is at, and Isaac is at, and Sarah is at, you know, that hall of faith, and Abel and Noah, right? They're in there. Guess who's in there in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith? Rahab's in there. Oh, what? Oh, my goodness. The God of the Bible is most interested in the concept of faith. You know that's what God is looking for, people who will trust him in faith. Our faith equals our belief in him and willingness to risk something because of that belief. Risk something because of it. Her decision to hide the spies could have been costly. She puts herself at risk against treason of her city, danger of her life if she's found out to be lying in a future that is uncertain. But she understood something that was critical, and I want you to get this as well. This is what Rahab understood. If I cling to the walls of Jericho, I will fall with them. Faith required her to let go of her old security to take a hold of a new one. I don't know. Maybe that's not sinking in. Listen. The walls of Jericho, they were security. They were protection. Jericho was out there. It was fortified. Any enemy attacks, we trust in our walls. We're trusting in our walls. That's what is providing the security we need. But Rahab says, I believe that when the God of Israel comes in, these walls are going to fall. And in order for me to embrace what God has, I've got to let go of what I've been hanging on to for security in order to trust that there is a God who is way more secure than anything on earth that I can hang on to. Come on, faith is risky. Faith is costly. It means letting go of something that we know for something that we don't. We see it throughout Scripture. Elijah, who does God send him to? He sends her to a widow in Zarephath who is preparing her last meal. There's a famine in the land. She doesn't have a whole lot, a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. And Elijah shows up because God told him that his provision, what he was going to receive, was going to come from a widow who didn't have a whole lot. She said, listen. He says, make me a meal first. He says, whoa, man. I don't have enough for myself. I'm making this last meal for myself and my son. We don't have a whole lot. And Elijah said to her, if you make a little bread for me, you give me a little bit, God will make sure it never runs out. She had to be willing to do what Elijah told her to do. She knew she just had a little. She had to be willing to let go of the little and be able to give that to Elijah first, trusting that God would continue to provide for her. I don't think you're getting it. We love Peter, right? But Peter had to let go of the security of the boat if he was going to walk on the water. It's easy to he was a fisherman, right? It's easy to stay in the boat. Right? And we talk about Peter all the time and faith like that until it comes to us. But I like my boat. I like my boat. But you never experience the miracle of walking on the water if you don't ever step out of the boat. If you don't let go of what you know. Abraham had to give up the security of staying in the land of his ancestors in Ur of the Chaldees if he was going to take hold of the better inheritance that God had promised. He had to be willing to let go. And the truth is, faith is about action. Every God-sized vision, every calling that God calls us to that seems bigger than us and seems uncertain, every future step means that I've got to be willing to let go of what I know and what I lean into and trust for security, to trust a God who's able to take care of me. Doesn't guarantee, doesn't wait for guarantees. Faith doesn't wait for guarantees. It steps forward because it knows in the character of the God in which it trusts that God is trustworthy. Whew. Number four, courageous faith leads to salvation and legacy. Get this. When Rahab decided to take that step of faith and hide the spies, it opened up the door for salvation and protection for not only her, but for her entire family. And it also led to an incredible legacy for generations to come. Get this. This is verses 12 and 13. She says to the spies, now swear to me by the Lord that you're going to be kind to me. Look what I've done. I've done what I know what I need to do. I've done this for you. Now swear to me you'll be kind to me. Listen, she hid the spies without knowing whether she would ever receive protection. That was a step of faith. That was a step of faith. She said, be kind to me since my family has helped you. Give me some guarantees that Jericho is conquered and you will let me, that when Jericho is conquered. She already had that faith. Like Jericho hadn't been conquered, but when Jericho is conquered, listen, I know what God is doing. I can perceive what God is doing. Jericho is going to be conquered. It hadn't been conquered yet. I don't know if you're seeing this. I don't know if you're getting this. This is what faith is. Rahab had no guarantees. She had simply heard of what God had done in parting the Red Sea and what God had done with his people. And she said, that God is supreme and I know what's coming. It hasn't happened yet, but I know it's coming. So listen. When Jericho is conquered, you're going to let me live along with my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and their families. Man, she says, listen, I don't want to face the same judgment that I can see that's coming to my city. And rather than fight against God, I'm going to go with God. Rather than fighting against God, I want to surrender to him. Come on, it's in here. And the spies assure her safety, but they give one more step of obedience. Check this out. This is the thread of redemption in Scripture. See if you can't catch it here. Verse 18, when we come into the land, you must leave the scarlet rope hanging from the window, which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and your relatives must be inside the house. Anybody know what the scarlet cord represents? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Come on, you can see it in the New Testament, right? It's a symbol of the blood, right? Just like in the Passover, the blood over the doorpost, the scarlet rope that was hanging out. And just like the ark, you have to be in the ark in order to be saved from the coming judgment that's coming upon Jericho. Make sure your family's in the house, but keep the scarlet rope hanging out the window. Keep a hold of the scarlet rope that's hanging out the window, man. Faith in Jesus, the cleansing blood of Jesus and the cross. We've got to cling to that for salvation. We can't cling to our own works. We've got to cling. We can't cling to our own religious ways. We got to cling to the cross. We got to cling to the cross. That's the salvation from the coming judgment. Rahab, man, she does what the spies told her. And the result later on was salvation for her and her entire family. Because when the walls of Jericho fell, she and her family were saved according to Joshua 6:25. But that's not the end of the story. Because God turned Rahab the harlot into the wife of an Israelite by the name of Salmon. Salmon said, you know what? I don't care that she's a prostitute, man. That's a woman of faith. That's the kind of woman I need on this Valentine's Day weekend. Listen, men. You need to find a woman who loves Jesus and has faith like that. That's what you need to look at. Ladies, quit all these dating sites. Go find a man who loves Jesus. Find a man who's passionate about loving Jesus. Because Jesus will teach him how to love you. All right, that's my extra. That's not even in my notes. Rahab married an Israelite by the name of Salmon, and he gave her a son by the name of Boaz. Does anybody remember when Boaz showed up? Oh, yeah, he married somebody by the name of Ruth, who was a Moabite, another foreigner that everybody else said, not her, but she showed amazing faith. And Boaz said, I need a woman of faith like that. Right? Oh, but what happened? Boaz, they had a son, and then they had a son, and then they had a son. And who was that son? David, who became the king of all Israel. Guess what? David's great-great-great-great-grandmother was Rahab. Her decision of faith led to a generation of faith. It changed her family dynamic, and it not only saved her and the present household, but it left for generations to come all the way up to, if you follow that line from King David, all the way up to a man by the name of Joseph who took a virgin by the name of Mary who God has said, oh, that's the one I want to carry my Messiah, Jesus. And you look at Matthew chapter 1 and you go down through that genealogy. And guess who's in that genealogy? A prostitute by the name of Rahab. who took a step of faith because she had heard what God had done in Israel. And because of that, it left a legacy of faith that completely turned her entire family situation around. There are some of you that your steps of faith that you make today, your steps of faith, the decision you make to let go of the securities that you hang on to in this world and to take a step of faith to take a hold of God are going to transform you and generations that follow you to come because of your faith. That's what God is looking for. Some people who have faith like Rahab. Oh, I gotta hurry up. I'm way past the time. Worship team, just come. We'll move through this one. Listen, courageous faith, this is number five, inspires others to move forward. Rahab's faith didn't only save her family and create a legacy, but it encouraged others as well. Look at the end of Joshua chapter 2, 23 and 24. Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. Now that's a really different testimony than when the spies came back in Numbers chapter 13. If you know the story, how many of you know the story? When they came back, they said, oh, the land is just like God promised. It's filled with milk and honey. Oh, look at the fruit we brought back. Oh, but man, there are giant armies in there, and there are giant walls in there, and there are giant people in there, and it's just too big, and we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it. And it discouraged an entire generation. Their testimony discouraged an entire generation, and for 40 years they wandered, and most of that generation died and didn't take hold of the promises of God because of the discouragement. But Rahab's faith resulted in a different result from the spies. Because when they came back, they didn't say, oh, the armies are too big and the walls are too big. They said, no, our God is so big. Our God is so big. Our God is so big. And what did it do? It encouraged the entire people of Israel to say, now's the time. Let's take hold of what God has promised. Let's go in and take hold of it. The walls haven't fallen and the armies haven't changed, but we know that our God is able because of the encouragement that Rahab provided with her testimony. Your testimony will encourage other people. You can either be a discourager or you can be an encourager. What are you going to be? You can be a discourager or an encourager. Your testimony can encourage somebody's faith, or you can be one of these Christians that just goes, oh my goodness, it's so bad. I don't know. Every day, I know. And then God answers, and it's still, yeah, he did that, but I'm still going through this. I'm still walking through this. Listen, I'm not trying to discourage. There are still real things there that we walk through. There are real things that we walk through. But sometimes, for some of us, our identity is more in the things that we're up against than it is in the God that helps us overcome what we're up against. We don't realize it, but we always get focused on what God isn't doing rather than seeing what God has done and what he's going to do. And you don't realize that when you start speaking negativity, you bring others with you and you bring the whole tenor down. But when you start to say, yes, but, it's not ignoring reality, but it's saying, but we know that our God is able. It raises the entire, it encourages others in their faith. Rahab stood at a crossroads. One side, the walls of Jericho stood tall and impressive and familiar and strong. On the other side, there was the God that she'd never seen, but she'd heard about. The God who had parted the Red Sea. The God who defeated the Amorite kings. That God. And she came to the conclusion that if this God is who he says he is, then these walls can't save me. And so she made the most courageous decision of her life. She let go of Jericho and what was familiar to her, what felt most secure, and hugged the scarlet cord out the window, taking hold of the salvation that was promised as a declaration of faith, saying, I no longer want to trust these walls, but I want to trust the God who saves. I want to trust the God who saves. And when those walls fell, the scarlet cord held. And listen, and she was saved. Friends, every one of us is trusting something. Some are trusting in success. Some are trusting in relationships or certain people. Some are trusting in money or reputation or morality. Some are even trusting in church attendance. But here's the truth. When the walls fall, and let me tell you something, friends, one day they will. One day they will. There's only one thing that saves. It's the scarlet cord that points to Jesus and the cross. It's his blood that saves. It's Jesus that saves. That cord that marked Rahab's house for deliverance, the blood of Jesus marks our life for salvation and deliverance. You don't get saved by being religious. You don't get saved by cleaning up your past. Rahab didn't. You don't get saved the same way. You believe, you surrender, and you act in faith. And friends, Rahab heard about God and she responded. And today, there are some of you that are here that you're hearing about God. And it's not about being religious, but you trusted in religion or church attendance, but you haven't trusted in Jesus. Jesus and the cross. There are some of you, you've been trusting the things that this world promises for peace and for hope and for happiness and for salvation, but you don't understand that the true peace you're going to find and the true joy that's never going to leave you is only found in Jesus and the cross. Some of you need to let go and hold on to Jesus today. Some of you need to let go. You need to let go of the past. You need to let go of the things in this world you're hanging on to for security. And you need to say, no, Jesus, I'm trusting you. I'm hanging on to that scarlet cord and I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Listen, God saw Rahab, a prostitute who was okay with lying, probably had learned that, but God said, I see her faith through it all, and I'm going to give her deliverance and salvation. You don't have to have your act cleaned up. You just simply need to put your faith in Jesus. Is there somebody today you say, you know what, Pastor, that's speaking to me. Today's my day. Today's my day. And I need to take hold like Rahab did. I need to take hold of the cross, the scarlet cord, the cross of Jesus Christ. And I need to trust him today for my salvation. If that's you today, if that's you today, will you just raise up your hand? I want to take hold of the scarlet cord of the cross of Jesus today. Come on. Come on. Yeah, I see those hands. Come on. Come on. Somebody else. I need to let go. I've been hanging on to some things. I need to let go and hold on to Jesus. That's right. That's right. Come on. That's you. Pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I'm letting go of those things that I've held on to, thinking they're going to make my life meaningful. I ask you, Jesus, today to forgive me and cleanse me. And I ask you to save my life. I put my faith in you and the blood on the cross for my salvation today. And I invite you to come into my life and make me new. Save my life, Jesus. Deliver me, oh God. I want to follow you. I'm choosing to follow you today, to surrender my life and follow you. And follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, just give the Lord a praise offering today. Yeah, come on, stand to your feet and let's give God praise. One more thing, for those of you, you've already taken that step to follow Jesus. This beyond vision is our Jericho moment. What are you clinging on to? You see, courageous faith asks, what are you trusting more? What you can see or what God has promised? Rahab didn't wait till the walls started shaking. She tried the cord immediately, and maybe today God's asking you to take another step, to trust him, to give, to serve, to lead, to surrender something you've been holding on tightly to. You see, when we let go of Jericho, that's when we step into legacy. What step of faith is God inviting you to step into today? Jesus, I pray right now over every person. Thank you for those who gave their lives and surrendered their lives to you today. Lord, that's the first step of a journey of learning, God, what you want to do in and through our lives, a journey, God, of following you. And it's always an adventure when we follow you. So, Lord, for those of us, Lord, that are on that adventure, I ask you to reveal in our hearts, what are we hanging on to? What are we trusting in that is keeping us from taking a hold or taking the next step to trust what you're leading us into? Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you today, and we ask you to give us faith like Rahab had, without seeing but believing and stepping in to what you're calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.